Have you ever had something go wrong in your life? Really? A few of you? Anything ever go bad for you? Anybody ever mistreat you? Anybody ever do you wrong? How did you respond? Were you mad? Were you angry? Were you upset? When I ask you a question, I want you to answer it honestly. All right? Did you ever pout? I will take your laughter as a positive affirmation that at some point in your life, you pouted. Do you know a prophet who pouted? You just heard read from Jonah chapter 4 about a prophet who pouted. That's not a very good quality to have your prophet of God, is it? A pouting prophet? We spent 3 weeks looking at Jonah. We looked 2 weeks ago, talked about how Jonah was in chapter 1, he was a prodigal prophet. He was running away from God. In chapter 2, he's in the belly of that, well, at first he's in the water, and then he's in the belly of that fish. And what was he doing in the water and in the belly of that fish? He was a praying prophet. Last week we looked at chapter 3, where we saw Jonah finally make his way to Nineveh. He's a preaching prophet. But then after he preaches in Nineveh, you know, if a preacher today, or any preacher for that matter, no matter when he lived or where he lived, if he went to a city and he converted the whole city, you know what he would do? He'd throw a party. He'd say, hey, if I can do it in this city, I'm just going to keep going around the world and keep doing this. Would you ever think that a preacher, having converted a city, would go outside of that city and pout? No. Well, Jonah is one of those unique characters in the Bible who did just that. So I want you to get your Bibles tonight. We're just going to look briefly tonight in Jonah chapter 4 and look at some things that we can learn from Jonah chapter 4 about how we can take this passage of a story. Is the story of Jonah one that we know pretty well? Yeah. Probably one of those Old Testament passages that we are most familiar with. And perhaps you've heard the four-sentence summary of the book of Jonah. Four chapters in the book of Jonah, four sentences. Chapter 1, Jonah was running away from God. Right? Chapter 2, what's he doing? He's running to God or back to God. Chapter 3, what's he doing? He's running with God, doing what God wanted him to do. We get to chapter 4. He's still running. But where's he running now? Some have said he's running ahead of God. Or some have said he's trying to run God. He's trying to be the one in charge. He's trying to run God. But I want to look at two things about this chapter. First thing we're going to look at is that Jonah had some serious problems. Would you agree with that? I mean, here's a dude outside the city pouting. He's got something wrong with him. He's got some serious problems. And then the second thing we're going to look at tonight is that God had some valuable lessons for him to learn. But I want you to think about three serious problems that Jonah had. First problem he had, this guy's got an attitude problem. You know anybody who's got an attitude problem? Don't look, all right? Don't nudge them, all right? Don't point fingers. That's rude. Pointing fingers is rude, okay, if nobody ever taught you that. You know anybody's got an attitude problem? This dude had an attitude problem, all right? How do we know that? Look at what happened. Look in Jonah chapter 3, he goes to the city of Nineveh. And we looked at that last week. We're not going to rehearse all of that. But he went to the city of Nineveh. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 3 that God saw their works in verse 10. They turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God did not bring the disaster upon them that he planned to bring upon them. And then the next chapter, do you have what's the first word you've got in chapter 4? But. There's great things happening in chapter 3, and how does chapter 4 begin? But, something's wrong. Something's not going to go right here. Well, what's wrong in chapter 4, Jonah? That's what's wrong in chapter 4. He's got an attitude problem. How does this chapter begin? It displeased Jonah exceedingly. God spared the city of Nineveh. And the Bible says it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah, you better watch your attitude. God's just done something. The Bible says Jonah didn't like it. Better watch out, buddy. That's not such a good attitude to have, is it? When you're displeased at what something that God is doing. But you look at this guy who's got an attitude problem, and he's full, and look in verse 2, he's full of I's and me's in verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord. This is the second time in this book that he prayed. But you remember his attitude when he was praying before? Oh, Lord, please help me. Oh, Lord, please help me. That's the prayer we pray a lot, right? Oh, Lord, please help me. If you were drowning in the water and swallowed by a fish, what would you be praying? Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. That's a good prayer. So he decides to pray now. Is it a good prayer now? He prayed, and I like the New King James. He prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord. Can you hear him saying that? What an attitude. You're going to come to God. Ah, Lord. Excuse me? I thought you were supposed to start a prayer saying, Dear Lord, or Holy Lord, or Loving Father. Ah, Lord. Buddy, you better back up. What's up with you? Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? God, isn't this what I told you was going to happen? What a guy. He says, Therefore, God, because of this, I fled previously to Tarshish. Don't you remember, God? I was on my own. I was going where I was going to go. This is what I was doing. I had it right all along. For I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God. Like, that's a bad thing. Slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. One who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. What a guy. Has he got an attitude problem? Got an attitude problem where he's not pleased with what God has done. And why is he not pleased? Because he's all full of himself. If we've got any of that kind of attitude in us, we better watch out. We better not have one little ounce of that kind of an attitude, because when it comes to our relationship with God and when it comes to our relationship with our fellow man, we better learn to be humble. There's a verse in Psalm 144, and you might think of the verse over in Psalm 1:8 that's sort of like this one. But the verse in Psalm 144 and verse 3 says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? I like the way, Lord, what is man that you even think about him? That you even know, God, who are compared to you that you even give us thought? That ought to humble us. Should have humbled Jonah to say, Lord, who am I? I'm nobody. Who am I to come to you like this? We got to watch our attitude when it comes to God. He had an attitude problem. But something you're going to see, I think it's three times in this chapter, might be four. Three times you're going to see in this chapter that Jonah had an anger problem. I asked you before if you knew anybody who had an attitude problem. You know anybody who's got an anger problem? Don't look. Don't point. You know anybody who's got an anger problem? Jonah's got an anger problem. Go back up to verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly what the Lord had done, and he became angry. And those verses that we read about his prayer to God, if you want to call that what we would think of as a prayer. And then the Lord said to him in verse 4, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah got angry when God didn't do something that he wanted him to do. God was going to destroy Nineveh. That's what Jonah wanted. And then God didn't do it. And now Jonah is angry with God. But he's not just angry because of what God has done here. But you go later in the chapter, and now he's going to get angry that God did something that he didn't want him to do. There's a huge object lesson. Look in verse 5. This is a passage that Cam read. Look in verse 5. Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city where there would have been a hill overlooking the city. He made himself a shelter, and he sat under it for the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He still thought, or he still hoped, God's going to get him. I'm just going to sit here. Maybe he's waiting for the 40 days to expire. I don't know, but for some reason he thinks, I'm just going to sit here until they get what's coming to them. So the Lord prepared. Did you see when Cam read it in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8? The Lord prepared, the Lord prepared, the Lord prepared. Three times. Who's in charge here? You read that word prepared three times. The Lord prepared a plant, a gourd, a vine, and made it come up over Jonah. Now, why did God do that? You don't have to guess. It tells you. God made this plant grow up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. God just provided something for Jonah that was better than what Jonah had. Verse 5 says he built his own shade. And God says, I can do better than that. I'm going to provide shade even better than that. Now, why would God do that? Had Jonah done something to deserve God providing him something even better? No. But what do we deserve from God that he gives to us? Here comes God giving to Jonah to deliver him from his misery. And Jonah sits under this shade. But you see in verse 7, morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm now. And it damaged the plant so that it withered. In verse 8, it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wished himself to be dead. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. He gets angry that God did something that he didn't want him to do. This guy's got an anger problem. And so in verse 9, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And this guy who's got an attitude problem and an anger problem says to God, it is right for me to be angry even to death. If you know somebody who's got an anger problem, maybe that somebody is me. Maybe that somebody is you. We need to learn from Jonah to not be so reactive, to not be so resentful, and instead learn to control our emotions and be more reflective. Wait a minute. Let me think about this a little bit more. To be a little more rational, because anger is sometimes irrational, isn't it? I'm not saying it's always irrational, but anger is sometimes irrational to where you're not thinking properly. And you need to back up and reflect upon the situation and be a little more rational in your evaluation of what's happening. Now, you look at the verses on the screen. You'll think that's kind of a dumb way to write the verses up there. Let me tell you my weird thought process, okay? As I'm thinking about how do I need to learn to control my anger? What do I need to do in order to be more reflective, to be more rational in my thinking? The first verse that came to my mind was Colossians 3 and verse 15, where the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Would that help me with my anger? If I let the peace of God rule. But then that led me to verse 16. I thought, well, you know, that's kind of like, you know, how do I let the peace of God rule in my heart? Well, verse 16 says, I've got to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. So the more I put the word of Christ in me, the more I can learn to control my anger. And then it made me think, well, what about verse 8? Verse 8 says, put off all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, filthy language out of your mouth, which made me think of verses 1 and 2 where the Bible says, you know, if I've been risen with Christ, if I'm a Christian, I need to set my sights on things above and stop looking at things upon this earth. Would that help me with my anger problem? So I just put all of the verses up here for you. I could have put, and if you're taking notes, you could just write Colossians 3, 1 through dash 17. You don't have to write, but in my mind, I saw all 17 verses individual to say, you know what? How do I learn to control my anger? I need to make sure, verse 17, that everything I do in word or deed has the authority of Christ behind it. I think about it, and I learn to be thankful. Look at Thanksgiving in those closing verses 15, 16, and 17. The more thankful I can learn to become, the more I can learn to control my anger. Jonah had an attitude problem. He had an anger problem. And really, this might be redundant, but I wanted to put this in here anyway. He had an arrogant problem. He had an arrogance problem. Don't you get that? Here's somebody who thought he was all that. Look at the end of verse 6, where God made this plant to grow up over him. And what was his response in the end of verse 6? He was very happy. Thank you, God. Thank you for taking care of me. It's all about me. God, you're doing right now. You're watching out for number one, and I appreciate you doing that. Then God takes the plant away, and how does he respond? I've got a right to be angry with you, God. What, excuse me. Who do you think you are? He's got an arrogance problem. You know, when I'm dealing with God and I think God might be wrong about something, Maybe God has handled something wrong. Maybe God said something wrong. Maybe I don't like the way God has done or said something. I need to back up and ask the question, wait a minute. Am I wrong? Whoa, maybe not this question. Could I be wrong? For some of us, the answer to that question is always no. Of course I couldn't be wrong. I'm always right. You know, so it couldn't be me that's wrong. It's got to be some. And wouldn't that be a good practice, not just when it comes to God, when it comes to my relationship with other people? That I learned that, could I be wrong here? Am I wrong here? The verse is on the screen from the book of Acts where Paul said, I thought myself that I was to do many things contrary to the name of Christ. Before Paul became a Christian, he thought for sure that his purpose was to destroy Christianity. It never entered Paul's mind. Am I wrong? Never entered his mind, apparently. Never in his mind, apparently. Could I be wrong about persecuting Christians? No, he says, I lived in all good conscience before God to this day. Thought I was doing absolutely what was right. I need to learn to reflect upon myself and not be a Jonah. Not be somebody who's got an attitude problem. Not be somebody who's got an anger problem. Not be somebody who's got an arrogance problem. To look within myself and to take the Word of God and to write these words. Would God's Word help me if I've got an attitude problem? God's Word help me if I got an anger problem? God's Word going to help me if I got an arrogance problem? Yeah, going to help me in all of those. And so God, as He always does, God has some valuable lessons. And I just want to look at two of them from Jonah 4. He's got some valuable lessons for Jonah. Don't you like object lessons almost the best? Aren't those kind of the lessons you get the most? Why did Jesus teach him parables? Object lessons. Yeah, I can get that. I when you talk about fish, yeah, I can understand that. When you talk about sowing seed, yep, got that. I understand sowing seed. When you talk about a net and cast, oh yeah, I understand casting. Oh, a treasure in a field. Oh yeah, I can definitely get on board on treasure in a field. Object lessons. Well, here was an object lesson of all object lessons for Jonah. Here's a man who thought he was all of that. Attitude, arrogance, anger. How's God going to take care of that? He goes and he prepares that shelter for himself. And he sits under that shelter and God does even better and provides that, prepares the shelter. And then he prepares the worm. And then he prepares the wind to teach him a lesson. Two lessons tonight. First is that God wanted Jonah to learn to be like God. He wanted Jonah to learn to be merciful. And that is not what Jonah was. He was not merciful. You see, you read the book of Jonah, and all you read about is God being merciful. He was merciful to the Ninevites. When? Jonah wasn't interested in being merciful. He was merciful to the sailors. On board that ship. Why didn't God just take the ship down? They were all sinners anyway, right? Just take the ship down. God was merciful to Jonah. How many times? How many times is He merciful to Jonah? Jonah runs to Tarshish. Could God have done something? He's merciful to him. He's thrown into the sea. Could God just have said, well, good enough, let you go? He was merciful to him. Swallowed by a fish. Well, you know, your dinner. God was merciful to him. Vomited up on this shore, God was merciful to him. Goes to a violent city of Nineveh, where, as we talked about last week, all of their violent acts, he could have been put to death. God was merciful to him. He goes out and he pouts after preaching. And he says, God, I have the right to be angry with you. And God was merciful to him. How many times you read about God being merciful? Jonah needed to learn to be merciful, because that's what God is. And if it is not mercy, just the outgrowth of, and we can put the outgrowth of a number of things. Is it not the outgrowth of practicing the golden rule? If I practice the golden rule, would I be more merciful? If I would do unto others, paraphrase, as I would have them do unto me, do I want other people to be merciful to me? Oh, you better believe it. You better treat me right. You better forgive me. You better be merciful to me. Well, if I want them to be merciful to me, what do I need to be to them? I need to be full of mercy. I need to have a forgiving heart. Oftentimes in the Bible, it combines God's mercy with God's forgiveness. and how He was abundant in mercy and how He was abundant to forgive. Why does God forgive? Because He is merciful. So mercy is an outgrowth of having a forgiving heart. If I've got a forgiving heart, obviously I'm going to forgive. Why am I going to forgive? Because I'm going to learn to be more merciful to those who need it from me. And the more that I conform to the image of Christ, the more I will be merciful. Was Jesus merciful? You know, we've sometimes defined and often have that grace, the grace of God is receiving what I don't deserve. Receiving what I don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what I do deserve. Was Jesus merciful to us? Not giving us the penalty that we did deserve? Yeah. Jesus was merciful. He's called that. Merciful and faithful high priest. So the more I try to become like Jesus, the more merciful I will be. Lesson number one God wanted for Jonah to learn. Be merciful. Lesson God wants us to learn. Learn to be merciful. Do you know anybody who's perfect? You know anybody who's never going to make a mistake? You know anybody who may never who one day may they may hurt your feelings? They may do you wrong. They may treat somebody you love wrong. They may just say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. What do I need to learn to be merciful? Isn't that what I want from them? Second lesson. Learn to be like God. Lesson number two, learn to see like God. I want you to look at the closing verses here, because sometimes Jonah did see like God, and sometimes Jonah did not see like God. In chapter 1 and verse 2, God saw the wickedness of the city. Did Jonah see that? Yep. Chapter 1, verse 2, God says, the wickedness of the city has come up for me. I've seen it. Yep, Jonah saw that too. All right, you come over to chapter 3, and God in chapter 3 and verse 10, God saw their new works, their repentance. Did Jonah see that? Yep, Jonah saw that too. So sometimes we can see like God in some cases, but did Jonah see like God all the time? Well, he saw like God on those occasions, but God saw the lost souls in the city of Nineveh, and he saw that they needed his mercy. And Jonah didn't see that. He saw the lost souls there, huh? Yeah. I like that. The lost souls. They just need to be punished. God, let's bring fire and brimstone down on them, God. He saw that. But he did not see that they needed mercy. Do we? We see lost souls. I know we see lost souls all around us. Do we see how much they need the mercy of God? God brings this object lesson upon Jonah. Look in verse 9. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Plant God brought up, killed it with the worm, with the vehement wind. Now he's in the sun. He's maybe having a heat stroke in this sun, back up, growing faint in verse 8. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is right for me, God, to be angry even unto death. I want you to look at these last two verses. Here's the key to this lesson. But the Lord said, you have had pity, compassion, concern. You're all concerned about this plant. But what'd you do for this plant? You're all pity and concerned about this plant for which you have not labored. You didn't make it grow. It came up in a night and it perished in a night. What'd you do for that plant? What'd you do to have that plant? You did nothing. But now what are you? You are upset about that plant. Verse 11, so you're pitying this plant, and I should not pity Nineveh, that great city, the one I've created, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. And we mentioned last week there's a couple different ideas about what that means, that there's 120,000 who don't know their right hand from their left hand. One possibility is that's the expression God's using to talk about the children. Those who have not reached the age of accountability yet, they don't have a full understanding of life yet and of the consequences of their actions. And there's 120,000, if that's the expression that's being used here, to talk about the children. So that means there's at least 500,000 people, if not 1,000,000 people in the city. And God says, I've looked at them. And is it not right for me, Jonah, to have pity on those people? God, here's a lesson we need to learn. God puts more value in people than He does in things. God puts more value in people than He does in plants. You take that to the extreme today. We have people in our world today who are more concerned about our environment than they are about lost souls. They're more, and you fill in that first part with anything you want. They're more concerned about dogs being mistreated than they are about lost souls. And I'm not, we're not for totally ruining the environment. We're not for mistreating dogs. But why is it that we can get so worked up about some things? There's a lost soul over here that needs the mercy of God. Not concerned about that. That's the lesson of the last two verses, where God says to Jonah, you're all upset about that plant. Jonah, what'd you do for that plant? Nothing. I'm all upset, pitying, concerned about these people. You know why? They belong to me. I want them to go to heaven. I don't care how violent, I don't care who they are, I don't care what's happened. I want them to go to heaven, and don't I have a right to show mercy to them? Two lessons God wanted Jonah to learn. Why is this book in the Bible? Two lessons God wants us to learn. Learn to be like God and be merciful. Learn to see like God and see souls around us. And see that they need the mercy of God. Interesting how this book closes. We have no idea how Jonah responded. We have no idea what Jonah did after this. Isn't that interesting? Why doesn't God tell us what happened to Jonah? Why doesn't He tell us how Jonah... Because this book is not in the Bible for Jonah. This book is in the Bible for David. And God is saying to David at the close of this book, David, you need to be concerned about lost souls. He's talking to Jonah, but He's talking to David. You need to be concerned about lost souls and see them the way that God sees them. As we enter a new year, what more can we do to see lost souls this next year? What more can we do to reach out to them with the gospel and help them to come to know the mercy that God has for them? You a Christian tonight? You a faithful Christian tonight? You know, we serve a God who's still merciful. And we serve a God who still longs for every soul in whatever city, how vile that city might be. God still is longing for every soul to be saved, including yours. Are you a faithful Christian tonight? Have you ever been baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you serving Him faithfully tonight? This church can help you to get your life right on the right path with God tonight. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.